Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A California lawmaker has an interesting idea to curb the rise of anti-LGBTQ plus legislation across the country in recent years. According to the Human Rights Campaign, more than 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills have been introduced in state legislatures, which is a record by the nonprofit's count. What this lawmaker is proposing is kind of an about-face from how the Golden State currently responds to laws that conflict with state values. For several years, a California law actually banned state-funded travel to states with anti-LGBTQ plus legislation. And California State Senate pro tempore Tony Atkins argues that this approach came with unintended consequences, further isolating LGBTQ plus members in those restrictive states. So the Democrat from San Diego authored a bill that would not only reverse that travel ban, but also launch a marketing campaign in those states to promote inclusive messaging and combat that isolation. Senate Leader Atkins joins us now about authoring SB 447, which is called the Bridge Project, and that's an acronym which stands for Building and Reinforcing Inclusive, Diverse, Gender-Supportive Equality. Senate Leader Atkins, welcome.
Thank you so much, and good morning.
Good morning. So California is bold in progressive legislation, but this bill that we're going to be talking about, it's not something that we don't immediately think about, you know, funding inclusive messaging so that LGBTQ plus members in other states feel supportive. So before we dive into the details, can you just walk me through your train of thought that led you to authoring this bill?
Well, I think what we tried to do in 2016 was to call attention to an issue, which is inclusivity is important. The values are about inclusivity are important. And so we sent a message to North Carolina during the legislation on the bathroom ban, and it worked. People said, we can't support that and those values, so we're not going to come to North Carolina. But now we're at 23 states, and I think we find that it isolates us from being able to be present, be visible, and show examples of inclusivity and success. I couldn't go to most of the states I grew up in if I followed the ban and didn't use personal money. I couldn't travel there to be part of a conference to talk about research about how these bills impact us. And that's what we heard from academic institutions. We can't even travel to the states to do the research using our state money, our university dollars. And so it really limits our ability to be impactful in a broader way, and we're really isolating ourselves.
So by essentially, you know, drawing a line in the sand based on, you know, the state's values, it had this unintended consequence of, you know, limiting awareness and outreach to people who are part of that community and live in those states.
Right. I mean, I grew up in one of those states. I know what it's like to feel isolated. I know what it's like to feel like you have no support around you. And I think the ability to be there and to be present speaks volumes, because it really is personal relationships, direct communication and contact that change hearts and minds. I know that. It changed my parents. They've always been accepting, grew up in Pentecostal holiness family, but they accepted me. And I think that we could learn something from that. It is about kindness. It is about building bridges. And we can only do that if we're able to be there.
When you're talking about 2016, you're referencing AB 1887, and that was signed into law. So essentially, in response to what was happening in North Carolina, the state effectively banned any state-funded travel to states that have pieces of legislation that are considered anti-LGBTQ+.
Correct. And, you know, I do think that it did have an impact. But I think when you see that something is not exactly working the way you'd hoped, you need to pivot. You need to think of a different strategy, because the goal is to be supportive. And so I think this is a positive approach and a different approach, because I do think we need to find ways to communicate those values. And I do think there is a place for bans and boycotts. We know in our history the Great Boycott. I grew up participating in Southwest Virginia on the Great Boycott. It worked. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And you need to be prepared to alter what works and what doesn't.
So the bill that you authored is titled The Bridge Project. What would this accomplish?
Well, I think what it does is it sends positive messages. I don't know if you've seen recent billboards in San Francisco, Los Angeles, that shows a picture of a great icon, Dolly Parton. I always like to reference Dolly. And it says kindness. Kindness matters. And I remember growing up and during sports events, national sports events on TV, I would see an ad about bring the world together. You may not remember the product, but I always remember, I'd like to teach the world to sing and live in perfect harmony. Those messages are positive. It's not about a politician. In fact, this bill says no elected officials, no politicians. This is nonpartisan positive messaging that we can do as part of outreach to be inclusive. And thank you for talking what BRIDGE stands for. It is inclusive. It is diverse. It is bringing people together to build bridges.
And this is part of GoBiz, which is the governor's business department, its agency. And the obviously, the mission of GoBiz is economic strategy, right? From business development to private investment to just overall economic growth. So how does the BRIDGE project fit into GoBiz's mission?
Well, I think it does. I mean, I think we support tourism. We support economic advantages with other countries and in other states. And so I think it fits nicely with the message of we are a welcoming place and we will reach out to you. That's part of what GoBiz does. I'm meeting later today with a group of Japanese business associations from Northern California and Southern California. I've been to Japan. So it's no different than taking your message, your brand into other states, not into other countries, or we're doing that, but into other states.
How will this be funded?
This is set up to be a donor-funded program. The state could put money into this, but I don't think that's a reasonable proposition right now in terms of our budget. So it can take contributions and donations. And I fully believe that we will be able to do that and start a program with donor-funded contributions. Hmm.
This would also include contracting with a private nonprofit agency who would pretty much take the lead in producing these public service announcements. How will the selection process go?
Well, that's part of the legislation, and the bill is now in the Assembly. It's left the Senate. And there's recommendations to add who would oversee that. What kind of process would you have? And I do think we need a process. And there are national organizations, nonprofits, that do incredible work. So I think we would want a process of stakeholders to work with GoBiz. We've done that before in other councils and other working groups. So we're crafting that now as the bill goes through the process. But I look forward to having a process that would make it possible for stakeholders to weigh in and have some accountability.
When looking at the bill's analysis, there is no opposition on the bill. That's on record. But when you mentioned that this is going to be largely donation funded, GoBiz did indicate that it would incur annual staffing costs at roughly $500,000. Would those donations go towards the staffing costs or would that come from the state?
It could be either. I mean, that's obviously an annual negotiation around budget discussions, which, you know, we are in the middle of right now. You know, my hope is that we would be able to fund this through contributions first and foremost and go from there. Again, I'm mindful of our economic situation, but I do believe there are people who believe in this and who will contribute. And I think that could go towards some of the cost administratively.
Some may be arguing that, you know, we have civil rights issues in California. We should focus on what's happening in our state before focusing on what's happening in other states. What's your response to that?
Absolutely. And we should do it all. I don't think we should be hypocritical and think that we should export our values when we have issues here at home. The LGBTQ caucus, Plus Caucus, is supporting Pride and communities up and down the state. We've made it a priority to go to smaller communities where support is needed, where you have communities that don't exactly feel like some of us who may have bigger advantages in San Diego or the Bay Area. Not that there aren't problems there. We know there are, whether we're talking the LGBTQ plus community or the API community, where we've seen incidents of violence. We need to look within ourselves. So I think this applies very much to us, as well as to the 23 other states that we currently are not able to travel to with state funds.
Finally, Senate Leader Atkins, you have a really valuable hindsight with more than a decade in the state legislature. You were in the state assembly since 2010. You were also assembly speaker before moving over to the Senate. I mean, you've really had a front row seat to legislation and the impact that legislation can have for better or for worse. How have bills impacting the LGBTQ plus community, how has it changed since you first joined the state legislature in 2011?
A great deal. My predecessor and my mentor, Chris Kehoe, was the first chair of the newly created LGBTQ plus caucus. There's a fabulous documentary called Political Animals that former Senator Carol Migdon helped put together. And it shows the transition of what it was like to be an out LGBTQ person in the legislature 20 years ago. And we've come a long way. You see allies, our allies that are non-gay, who are doing legislation and who really take a lead. I think culture has changed, values have been more inclusive, and so there's a lot of positive things. But we still have issues. I mean, there are issues not just towards my community. Women, what women are facing as a backlash to the Dobbs decision around the right to abortion, communities of color, Black Lives Matter, reparations, all of those issues are conversations we can have. And I've seen a lot of strides in all of those issues, but we have a ways to go. And those discussions are important. And back to the mission of SB 447, building bridges, we need to learn to dialogue together. We need to not be so polarized on all of those issues. So I think for me, it all comes together.
Senate Leader Atkins, thank you for the time.
Well, thank you so much.
And that is State Senate Pro Tempore Tony Atkins. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.